Okay, good evening. Welcome back, everybody, to the From Family Share, hosted by Congregation Shari Tefillah. We hope that these derechar will be as chus aliyah neshama and zechira latova for Miriam Frod, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak, Allah HaShalom. The neshama have a chus continuous aliyah and the merit of the divrei Torah that we will share this evening. And we continue to thank the From family very much for their unwavering commitment to the shir and the chabura and the Torah that we share, l'zecher nishmas, their mother, Allah HaShalom. So we are in the middle of this Kuntras by Rabbi Victor Miller. If you recall, I mark every week where we end and where we're supposed to start again. Last time we spoke about the Midah of Anivos, based on the life of Moshe Rabbeinu. Last week, Sadra in Chutz La'aretz was Parshas Baha'aloscha. Baha'aloscha, in Perek Yud Beis, Miriam speaks Lashon Hara to Aaron about Moshe. And the pasuk tells us Moshe's reaction. Perek Yud Beis pasuk Gimel va'ish Moshe anav me'od mikol adam asher al pnei ha'adama. And based on where we are holding in this kunshas by Rabbi Victor Miller, our biggest opportunity in life is our dealing with human beings. That's our success in this world. We must remove our anochi, and that's really the quintessence of Moshe Rabbeinu. We are going to continue a little bit more in the kunshas of Rabbi Victor Miller, Torah Sevigdor. He speaks further about this idea. We're going to quote another different source that we have not done yet, actually, on Anivus as well, further strengthening this idea that Anivus is one of the most important midos when we talk about Vatranus, Bein Adam Lechaveiro, and Bein Adam Lemakom. Okay, so last week we spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu. If you remember, we quoted the Ramban, we quoted the Dazkin and Bali Tosfos, and we also quoted the Or HaChaim with other insights. So I'm just going to repeat what we said last week, not the insights that we learned, just read the two short paragraphs from Rabbi Victor Miller so we know where we are holding. Now, once we understand this subject properly, we begin to see that human relations, the contact with the people around us, that is a great opportunity to succeed and to create for ourselves a permanent honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, both in Olam Haza and in Olam Haba. So if we can succeed in human relations, we're actually creating a permanent honor to Hashem. So Bein Adam L'Chaveiro is truly a manifestation of Bein Adam L'Makom. Because when we are positive Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, interaction between man and fellow man, it strengthens our connection Bein Adam L'Makom between man and God. Our biggest opportunity in life, opportunity, doesn't say our biggest success and it doesn't say our biggest failure. Our biggest opportunity in life is our dealing with human beings. Now the question is, will we use this opportunity? Like Rabbi Zavlev says, potential is zero. Lots of potential is lots of zeros. Potential is unlimited. A potential means things could be potentially positive or chas v'shalom, potentially negative. So we have an opportunity in life when dealing with human beings. Will we utilize the opportunity l'tova for the good? Will we use the opportunity chas v'shalom the other way? Moshe Rabbeinu said when he sent the meraglim, this week's Sadra and Chutzar, it's Pasha Shlach. He said about the land of Israel when he's giving them instructions, Hatova hi im ra'a. What does that mean? Is she good? Is she bad? How can Moshe Rabbeinu say, is the land bad? What? Hashem said it's a good land. And Hashem introduced the land of Israel to Moshe and Paragimel Pasuk Ches by the burning bush of Shemos. He said, Ve'ered lahatzilo ulahaloso mina aretzahi al aretz tovu urechava aretz zavat chalav udvash. The first thing Hashem told Moshe about aretz Yisrael is it's an aretz tova. Look at that. Perikim pasuk ches of Shemos. That's the first thing Hashem said. Take off your shoes. I'm the God of your fathers. The grand understanding is holy. We're going to Eretz Yisrael. And how does he introduce Eretz Yisrael? Eretz tova. So how can Moshe Rabbeinu say to the spies, Hatova hi imra'a? What do you mean? Hashem said it's tov, you're giving them a choice, is it good, is it bad? So Rabbi Zev left, but the problem is I forget who he was quoting, maybe the Kotzka, I don't remember, I was on a fast walk. I'm going to take a pen and paper with me on my fast walk. I also try not to take on my phone on my fast walk. So, but it's definitely from Rabbi Zev left, and he was quoting somebody. Hatovahi, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, the land is good, period. Hatovahi, it is good. Im ra'a, if you see it's bad, if you perceive the negative, come back to me and I help you reframe. I will explain to you, as the leader, as the greatest Navi, as the closest man to ever live to Hashem, I will explain to you how it's really good. Sometimes we perceive things that are negative, but if somebody reframes or shows us a different viewpoint, you see that it's really good. It's really not the bad that you saw. Hatova hi Eretz Yisrael is a good land. It has to be a good land. Hashem said it's a good land. There's no other option. Imra'a, if you see the bad, come to me, Moshe Rabbeinu. Don't come, I'll call Adas B'nei Yisrael and start spewing the Lashon Hara. Come to me and I will help you reframe and show you how it is really good. So Eretz Yisrael is an opportunity. An opportunity is what we make of it. When we go to Eretz Yisrael, such a Mishra Haskel, you could see the good and speak the good. Or Echman al Tzan, you could choose to focus on the other thing and see the other way. So too in our interaction with people. Hashem was not happy when they spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe, because Hashem takes very unkindly to those who speak Lashon Hara about another human being. And Hashem was also not happy when they spoke about Eretz Yisrael. Hashem takes very unkindly to those who speak negatively about His promised land, His cherished land. Our biggest opportunity in life is dealing with human beings. That is our success in this world. Take the opportunity and make it hatovahi. Make it good. Imra'ah, if you perceive the bad, try and reframe. Try and see a different perspective. Remember something good that this person did to you. Remember why you liked them in the first place. Remember that they are at Salam Elokim. Remember, didn't that just like Hashem created you, Hashem created them. Hatovahi, it's good. Imra'ah, if you see the negative, try and reframe. Have a different perspective. If we can get along with people by means of sacrificing our false personality. The false personality always tells us that Anochi is what matters. The false personality tells you, you are the best thing since Adam. I know, I know. But it can also be a big Yetzer Hara to think too continuously of Bishvilev Nivra'am. I was just reading again somewhere, I think Rabbi Sachs quotes it. Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs quotes it. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. Humility is thinking of yourself less. I'm almost positive. I just reread it in Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs. Maybe it was the beginning of the week, last week. Maybe it was last week because I'm Moshe, Ish Moshe Anav. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. Humility doesn't mean I'm shmata, I'm terrible, I can't do anything right, I have no talents, abilities, and capabilities. That's the Yetzer Hara. That's not humility. Humility does not mean thinking less of yourself. It means thinking of yourself less. So I have talents, abilities, and capabilities because God made me good at certain things. Hatovahi, imra'ah. And therefore, if I use my good of myself, but I see bad in other people, I need to reframe. If we can get along with people by means of sacrificing our false personality, the false personality is always telling us, Anochi, the I is what matters, then we can become successful over the Hashem. And that's why Moshe was able to be totally mevater when Miriam and Aaron spoke Lashon Hara about him, because he knew he was an Eved Hashem. If Hashem didn't want that to happen, it wouldn't have happened. He's meant to hear exactly what he's supposed to hear, and I am a servant of Hashem. Going now to the top of the next page, which we didn't say last week, always in your dealings with your family, with your wife, with your neighbors, in your dealings in the business world, with the community, in the Beis HaKnesses, you're always aware of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and you're humble to people. That's what Pirkei Avos so much is about. Pirkei Avos is meant to make us aware these months, in the summer months, from spring, Aviv, through Kayetz, up through Elul. Many people have a custom, myself included, to read, to learn through a Perek of Pirkei Avos every Shabbos afternoon after Mincha. And Pirkei Avos is meant to make us totally aware as much as possible that the Ribbono Shel Olam is always above us, always watching us, always considering and listening. And through that awareness, we are meant to strengthen our relationship. Ben Adam Mechavero. So much of Pirkei Avos is about Ben Adam Mechavero. Overwhelming theme of Pirkei Avos is Ben Adam Mechavero. How do you come to improve in Ben Adam Mechavero? If you know Hashem is always watching and listening and recording, then you will improve your Ben Adam Mechavero between man and fellow man, because God is watching everything that I'm saying. God is listening to everything that I'm saying. Always in your dealings, therefore, with your family, with your wife or husband, your spouse, with your neighbors, in your dealings in the business world. So whatever situation applies to a person, with your community, in the Beis HaKnesses, in Shul, you must always be aware of a Kodesh Baruch Hu and be, quote, humble to people. That's what it says, okay? Humble, this is Vayikra 5783, page 15. And I'm pointing out it says humility because we're going to talk about another source. Last week we spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu's humility. We're going to speak about another source that indicates to us or teaches us the importance of humility. You must be always aware of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and if you're always aware of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you'll always be humble to people. This man is constantly bringing offerings, meaning a person who is always mevater to other people in his life is always offering korbanos. And it's considered as if he brought all the korbanos, because the offering of humility, anivos, remember last week we spoke about ani, pauper, poor person, anav, anan. Not only is the korban of anivos the most important of all, but it's always available to bring. You don't need money. Like when it came to Bikurim, right? So the rich people brought gold and silver baskets, and the poor people had to like weave some sort of basket. And when it comes to korbanos, the rich person could bring a cow or a sheep, and the poor person Nebuch has to bring a bird. And if he can't afford a bird with its feathers, then you bring some flour. But here you don't need, there's no socioeconomic differences. You don't need to be wealthy. You don't need to be, I don't know, you don't need anything external. It's available to bring. It doesn't depend on the time of year. It doesn't depend on the season. It doesn't depend on in Yanei Diyoma. It doesn't depend on if people are coming and going. It doesn't depend on how much money you have, where you're holding in your education, where you're holding in your job. If you just got a promotion, it's always available. It's always available to bring every day, all the time. Available, opportunity, potential. It doesn't mean you're doing it all the time. It means it's available to you. If you want it, you can access this. You have the opportunity at every moment to bring it. You have the potential to make yourself into an Aleph, to slaughter the Anochi, the I, by being aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and humble to people. There are always opportunities for somebody to be Zocha without any expense to live a life of bringing offerings and honoring HaKadosh Baruch Hu, without any expense. So you don't need to be the rich person who has gold or silver baskets for the Bikur. And you don't need to be the rich person who brings a beautiful cow while the guy next to you is bringing some bird. No. Without any expense, you can live a life of karbanos and bring in kavod to Shem Shamayim. How so? By not answering back, by swallowing your pride, by making way for somebody else, by means of shechting the ego that is always trying to trip you up. Very recently, this similar matzav happened to me, and someone, I'm not going to give any details, wasn't texting, whatever virtual messaging, said something that I was like really shocked by. I was like really shocked. And then at first I felt bad. And then I said, Michal, Hashem wanted you to hear this. If Hashem did not want you to hear this, this person would not have said that. Ein Adam Nekov Etzba'o Milamata Ela Imkein Mechrizin Alav Milamala Chulin 7b. A man does not stub his toe down below unless it is decreed upon him from above. So that doesn't just have to be your toe. It's any way that a person feels hurt or gets hurt. It's not random. Such a thing cannot happen unless it is decreed from above. But we're human beings, and I was very surprised. And at first I felt very insulted, and I was pretty shocked. And then I said, no, don't be that person. Don't say anything back. Just continue on the conversation. Hashem, if he didn't want you to hear it, you would not have heard it. For whatever reason, this needed to be said. It's very hard. You have to work on it. It's hard. But by the way, this is a true illustration. This is a maisa that recently happened to me, sometime within the past week, because it didn't happen by the last week's class. And also, I say it because it should be mechazek all of us. When we learn, it's very nice to learn. It is very nice to learn. I enjoy it very much. I was always very studious as a child. Through high school, seminary, very studious college. It's very nice to learn. It's intellectually stimulating. But when it comes to Torah, you lilmod la'asos. Lilmod ulami lishmer v'la'asos. We learn in order to do. Women do not have a mitzvah of Talmud Torah in and of itself like men do. Men have, basically, Levi discusses this on Naseh v'Nishma. The men have a mitzvah to learn Torah and to do. Women have a mitzvah to learn Torah in order to do. If you don't learn, how are you going to know what to do? How are you going to be connected to Hashem? Are you just going to be floating through this life without paying any attention to the fact that there's a Ribono Shel Olam in this world, if nothing's grounding you? But everything that we learn has to be applied. So I say this as a real life illustration. I don't know if I should say the word also. I often struggle, I don't know if I should say I also struggle, that indicates you struggle. I often struggle with the real life situations that we learn about. I imagine if they happen to me, they happen to other people also. I imagine, I don't know. And instead of saying anything back, I didn't say anything, what's the point? They wanted to say it, okay. And I didn't say anything. I'm not saying it's easy, it's not easy, and I'm still very surprised. But what do we have to do? We have to offer korbanos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, please, I think I say this every class. I'm not talking about, God forbid, a dangerous situation. We're talking about any sort of physical, emotional, any kind of psychological, sexual, that's not what I mean. I'm talking about the bedarachal things that people say that we find insulting. I didn't say anything. I was very surprised. It was very inappropriate. I didn't do anything wrong. But whatever, okay, they said it. I thought to myself, Ein Adam Nekov Etzba'o Milamata, Ela Imkein Machuizin Alav Milamala. Shem, I'm just not going to say anything. I'm going to go on. Bimvater. There are always opportunities for somebody to be Zocha without any expense. It doesn't cost money to do that. Sometimes it's easier to spend money than to be Mevater in that fashion. Sometimes, I said. Easier to write a $100 check. Sometimes to tzedakah. It's tzedakah. You get it right out. Tzedakah tatzah mimaves. Okay. Than to be Mevater in such a fashion. There are all these opportunities for someone to be zocha without any expense. It doesn't cost money. To live a life of bring offerings and honor HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I just thought of something. One second, I'm going to get a chumash, okay? One second. One second, please. I just thought of something. Where is it? I need to see if what I think of is correct. What I was thinking was by the Shema. I'm not sure if it works. By the Shema, in Devarim Perek Vav, Pasuk Hey, V'ahavta Shema Elkecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol me'odecha. So what I was thinking is that b'chol me'odecha, Rashi gives two interpretations there. One is b'chol me'moncha, with all your money, and the other is b'chol mido mida shemodedecha, with each and every measure that he gives you. So Rashi says there, what does it mean, b'chol me'odecha, you should love Hashem with all your ma'od, with all your money. You have a person whose money is more dear to him than his body. Therefore it says, but I think what I thought of doesn't work. I think it would only work if it was, that it would work. His gufo, his anochi, his ego is even more precious to him than his money. So let's invert the Rashi a little, just for purposes of our learning tonight. I know what the Rashi really says. I understand. If you invert the Rashi, then Yeshecha Adam Shegufo Yoser Chaviv Alav Mi Mimono. Sometimes it's easier to part with your money than to part with your ego. Sometimes. I understand if a person, Rechman Hatzlan, doesn't have any food and they're starving, it's a different situation. But sometimes it's easier to write $100 check to tzedakah than it is to part with your ego. But we can all offer kabbalas all the time to Hashem. We do not have to answer back. We can swallow our pride. We can make way for somebody else. We can shecht the ego that is always trying to trip you up. So I'm going to quote from a source that I don't think we have ever quoted from in this year. I don't know. In all our years, I don't think so. Halavai got 100. Oh, I remember. Hashem, if this is a test, I'm going to pass and I'm going to get 100. I haven't thought of that for a while, actually. Thank you for reminding me of that. Thank you. I needed that. Okay. So the Igeres HaRamban. The reason it was on my mind when I was re-preparing this year is because I'm teaching the Igeres HaRamban this summer. So I don't think it otherwise would have been on my mind. But since Rav Victor Miller is speaking about this idea of humility, anivus, and conquering our anochi, so my mind thought of the Igeres HaRamban. You know what? I could actually screen share it with you. One second, I have a good idea. We're not going to go through the whole Igeres HaRamban now. I'm just going to show you the beginning that I wanted to show you. But it will be nice and easier. I actually have my sefer here. Okay, I'm teaching from my sefer. But just for ease, if it's easier for you to follow along with me than just to listen, you're welcome to. Could you see my screen, by the way? Okay, fine. So the Igeres HaRamban was written by the Ramban to his son, Shema Bini Musar Vicha. According to tradition, it was written after his expulsion from Spain for teaching Jewish beliefs. Teaching Torah for his Jewish beliefs, he was expelled. And after he was expelled, he sent this letter to his son. We're not going through the whole letter right now at all. Just the beginning, what I highlighted, what I want to go over with you. Shema b'ni Musar Avicha v'al titosh Torah simecha. He begins with quoting a famous pasuk from Mishlei. Hear, my son, the chastisement of your father, and do not forsake the Torah of your mother. Instruction of your mother. Titnaheg Tamir, and I tell you, if I wasn't teaching this summer, I don't think it would have been on my mind when I was going through Avigdor Mills Conscious, but because I am teaching it, it is on my mind, and therefore I realized how connected it is to where we are holding in our study of this idea of a nivus. Tisnaheg Tamir de Deber called Recha Benachas. V'chol Adam u'v'chol Eis. You should practice, become accustomed to speaking always and consistently all of your words with pleasantness to every person at every time. Ubazati natzel min hakaas. And from this you will be saved from anger. Why do you need to be saved from anger? Shehi midara lahachti bnei adam. Anger is a terrible character trait, and it causes man to trip, to sin. V'chein amru rabbeinu zichrono levracha. And so say our rabbis of blessed memory. Kol hakoes. Quoting the Gemara in Nedarim. Kol minei gehenem sholtim bo. Yeah, Nedarim chaf beis aleph. Kol hakoes. Anyone who becomes angry. Kol minei gehenem sholtim bo. All sorts of purgatory. Gehenem rules over him while you're in this world. Someone who becomes enraged, someone who becomes angry, someone who becomes furious, someone who is a bal kaas, while you're in this world, you're in Gehenem. You don't have to wait till 120 to get the din. You're in this world in Gehenem. Shenemar, like the pasuk says in Kohelas, v'aser kaas milibecha, remove anger from your heart. V'haver ra mibsarecha, and when you remove anger from our heart, you'll remove bad from your flesh. In other words, the bad is Gehenem, and a person brings Gehenem upon himself, upon his flesh. How do you remove yourself from that? By removing anger. The Ein Ra El Gehenem. The Ramban says to his son, the Nachmanides, what does it mean he lived from the 1100s into the 1200s? What does it mean? V'asar kas milibecha v'ram b'saracha. The Ein Ra El Gehenem. When it says Ra, that means Gehenem. What is bad? If you want to remove bad from your flesh, what do you have to remove? Gehenem from your flesh. 1 second, where am I? Over here. Like the pasuk says in Mishlei, and also to the wicked person on the day of evil. So the wicked person on the day of evil will face Gehenem. L'yom ra'a is a reference to Gehenem. Therefore, it must be in Kohalas. Shlomo Melech wrote both Mishlei and Kohalas. And when he talks about ra'a mibsarecha, you can access Gehenem here. If let's say you can't wait to get there. If you can't wait, no problem. I'll give it to you here. You know how? By becoming angry. You'll become enraged, your face turns red, you're screaming and yelling, you're infuriated at other people, you have no tolerance, you can't be mivater, you're anochi, it's your way, the highway, no way, no problem, you're in Gehenem now, you don't even have to wait 120 years. The kasher tinatza min akas, and when you will be saved from anger, ta'a Allah alibcha midas ha'anava. When a person manages to save themselves from becoming angry, from the midah of anger, the next midah that will take the place, so you remove the anger from your heart, haver ra'a mibsarecha, haser ka'as milabecha. When you remove anger from within and upon yourself, what's going to take the place? Now there's a void, because you've removed something. So, I don't know, if you have 12 pegs, and you remove one peg from the board, there's a void. What are you going to put into the void? You have to fill it with something. So now there's a void. You've taken out anger. The kasher tinatzel minakas, when you save from the anger, ta'la alib chamidas ha'anava. What will take the place of ka'as, that midah meguna, that terrible midah? There's a very, very famous story with Moshe Feinstein. I think it was Moshe and the Ink on the New Gemara. And they asked Moshe Feinstein about his patient demeanor. And he said, do you think I was born like this? I worked my whole life on acquiring this trait, on ridding myself of anger. And instead of anger comes patience, and with patience comes anivas. The kasher tinatzo min akas, when you will be saved from anger, ta'la alib chamidas ha'anava. It will enter your heart the trait of anivas, humility. Shehi mida tova mikol midos tovas. You want to know the best mida more than any other mida, says the Rabban? It is anivas, humility. Shenemar eikav anava yosham. This is very interesting, by the way. He begins the Igaris with Mishlei. And the first paragraph, he then quotes Kohelas, then Mishlei, and then Mishlei. Shlomo HaMelech wrote Mishlei in his middle age and Kohelas in his old age. So clearly the Ramban tells us that the wisest of all men, Shlomo HaMelech, has much to tell us about these topics. And if you save yourself from anger, you will have a void because you removed something from your heart. What will fill the void? A positive midah. What is that positive midah? Anava. Shehi midah tova mikol midas tova. Shenemar eikav anava yiras Hashem. Like the pasuk says in Mishlei, on the heel of anivus, on the heel of humility, comes God-fearing. So if you remove ka'as, it will lead you to humility, which will lead you to be a God-fearing person, which is everything really Rabbi Victor Miller is speaking about. That if we acknowledge, if we are aware, if we live with the reality that there is a Ribono Sha'olam, that's the only thing that matters. So then of course I'm going to be humble. And then of course I'll be Yiras Hashem. Much easier said than done. Aba'avur ha'anava. And once you have acquired anava, anivus, ta'ala alib chamidas ha'yira. Then it will enter into your heart the trait, the character trait of reverence. You will revere the Almighty. Ki titen alib chatamid. What will you think about always? He is paraphrasing Perkei Avos. What should you think about in order to be a Yirei Shamayim? May Ayin Basa, where did you come from? Both Perkei Avos say, Metipas Rucha, from a putrid drop. That's where we all came from. Ana Taholeich, and to where are you going? Where are we all going? To the place of worms and maggots, says Perkei Avos. We're all going to the grave. V'kisha'ata Rimov Soleh Bechayacha, and you should think to yourself, you know, I'm really not so worthy. I'm like a worm, a maggot already in my life. And if I'm so sinful in my life, if I make all these mistakes in my life, if I'm no more significant than a worm and a maggot in life, I know. But he's helping us work on midos of humility and Yiras Shamayim. Then what am I in my death? If this is what I am in my life, how much more so in my death? Furthermore, what else should you think to yourself? You should also think to yourself, before whom I have to give an accounting? Not a king of flesh and blood, not the Supreme Court justice, not the God of Hador. I'm going to have to give an accounting before the Ribono Shalom. If a person thinks of that, of course I won't be insulted by something that someone said to me. Why should I be insulted? How's this going to be measured in the courts above? What counts up there? Shanemra, like the Pasuk says in Divrei Yamim Bet, Hinei Shemayim Mishmer Shemayim Lo Yichal Kelucha. He taught the Rebbe in bed with OU Women's Initiative. If anyone learned it with me, it was amazing. If you didn't go online, you could listen. It's incredible. That's what Shlomo Melech said by the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash. Oh, he's really quoting Shlomo Melech. Wow. 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 The Ramban begins with Mishlei. Look at this. Okay, one quote from Nadarim, then he goes to Kohalas, then he goes to Mishlei, then he goes to Mishlei, then he goes to Divrei Yamim Bet. But you know what the Pasuk is by Divrei Yamim Bet? I didn't even realize you saw. I realized the only one I'm speaking. How if the heavens and the highest heavens cannot contain you? Ribbono Shel Olam is infinite. He's Ein Sof. How could the house that I built contain you? So that's what you should consider to yourself, and that's what you should think. And then, of course, you will not have ka'as. You won't get angry at other people. Okay, so you said it. I can't be responsible for what you say. And then you will have a nivus, because you removed one peg, the peg of ka'as, anger. What is going to take its place? Anava, anivus, humility. And when you have humility, naturally, you know what else is going to move in? Yiras Hashem. Av kilibos b'nei hadam. Al pi mishlei tesvav yiralf. Okay. If the heavens and the heights, very, very interesting, actually. Very interesting. Behold, the heavens and the heights, heavens cannot contain you. Certainly the heart of man cannot contain you. So I should be very, very humble. Where does God reside in this world? God is infinite. God can't reside in mortality. God can't reside in, I know, Tzimtzum, Mishkan, I know. He can't reside in a limited structure. So how could I not have Yiras Shamayim? The Nemar, like the Pasuk says, Hello, Eis HaShamayim V'Eis HaAretz Ani Malei Nu Hashem. Hashem says, I fill the heavens. I fill the earth. Because Baruch Hu is the Mekom Mosh'olam V'Ein Ho'olam Mekomo. He is the place of the world, and the world is not his place. The kasher tachshuv eskol eila. Yeah, I want to do a little bit more. The kasher tachshuv eskol eila. Again, we're not doing the Holy Ghost tonight at all. The kasher tachshuv eskol eila. When you think about all these things, tira mibarecha. Of course you will have Yiras Shamayim. If the heavens and the heights of heavens, the whole Milky Way galaxy, galaxies beyond galaxies, planets beyond planets, can't contain the Ribono Shel Olam. How could this house that I built contain the Ribono Shel Olam? How could my heart contain the Ribono Shel Olam? Who do I think I am vis-a-vis the Ribono Shel Olam? Why should I be insulted? Why that person said, okay, so they said it's not my problem. Just let it go. What did Rabbi Victor Miller say? What should I do? Don't answer back. Swallow your pride. Make way for someone else. Shecht your ego. But it doesn't mean, by the way, wait. You have to be very careful. It doesn't mean you could bear a grudge in your heart. It doesn't mean I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to close my mouth. I won't answer back. But then I'm not going to talk to them. And I'm not going to be friendly. No, that's Lo Sikum Lo Tisar B'nei Amecha, Vayikra 19:18. Then you're over a love. You're not allowed to hate your brother in your heart. Those are from Parshas Kedoshim. So it doesn't mean to shecht your ego and hold back your tongue and swallow your pride by being angry inside. I don't know. That's not this easy. It means that inside you totally forgive, you totally forgot, you're totally mevater, you go, you treat them, you have the same viewpoint of them, you still love them, you're still kind to them. If you're taking nekama and hating them in your heart, you have not shechted your ego. You're over on more lavin. It means that the recognition that Ribbono Shel Olam is in charge of this world. I am nothing compared to God. I know we're also something. And therefore, this is what Hashem wanted to happen. And I continue totally with the same relationship with that person as if nothing has happened. If you're bearing a grudge and hating them in your heart, so it's not a good matzav. You might be better off speaking up. But if you can come to the place where you do not answer back, where you swallow your pride, where you make way for someone else, you shecht your ego that's trying to trip you up, and you continue with them like Norma, so you brought a korban to Hashem. The kasher tachshov es kol eila, a better korban than the mincha, a better korban than the bird with its feathers, a better korban than the cow and the bull, a better basket than the bikurim, you brought yourself. But Kasher Tachshov es kol eila, says the great Ramban, and when you think of all these things, tira mibarecha. You won't be afraid of other people. You're not going to be insulted by something someone said. You don't care what someone else said. You're going to be with reverence, with fear before God, your Creator. The tishamer minachit. You will be on guard not to sin. It will lead to another midah. Pirkei Avos, Perek Daled, Mishnah Aleph. And when you remove ka'as, and the peg that fills it is anivas, you removed anger, you fill it with humility. And then you have yirash shamayim, you revere the Almighty, you will then come to be sameach b'chalkacha. You will be happy with your portion, content with your lot. Why should I want what anyone else has? That's not what God wants for me to have what anyone else has. V'kasher tisnaheg b'midas ha'nava, l'hisbo sheish mikol adam. When you act with the quality of anivus, humility. Okay, so how can I translate his boshesh? It literally, it doesn't mean like embarrassment. Wait, let me see what Art School says. 1 second. Let me see something. When you stand meekly before... Oh, when you stand meekly before a man. Okay, that's a good translation. It doesn't mean to be embarrassed. Okay, it doesn't mean busha. V'kasher tisnaheg b'midas ha'anava, when you behave with the quality of humility, l'hispo sheish mikol adam, to stand meekly before all men. Again, it doesn't mean embarrassed. U'lihispacheid mimenu minachit. And you should be very afraid. What should you be afraid of? You should be afraid of the Ribbono Shel Olam. You should be afraid of sin. I'd say you don't want to go to Gehenna down here, so you don't bring kas, but do you want to go to Gehenna over there, chas v'shav? So I have to think, how is this measured in the Olam HaEmes? Az tishra alecha ruach hashchina. Then the spirit of the divine presence will rest upon you. V'ziv kevoda. And the splendor of the honor of God. V'chaye olam haba. And life in the world to come. That's all that I marked that I wanted to. He continues, it's very beautiful. We're not doing more than I am. That's what, the part that I wanted to read to you. But I do want to quote from this Sefer, the Geres HaRamban. It's Art School Geres HaRamban, the Ramban's ethical letter with an anthology of contemporary rabbinic expositions, Rabbi Avram Chaim Fuhrer. I'll tell you my source. So he goes through the Holy Geres sentence by sentence and brings you different insights. So I just want to quote what's relevant for our learning. The whole thing is relevant for our lives. But I'm not going to quote the whole Sefer. Could you imagine if I were in a tangent of our Sefer, and now we're in a tangent of a tangent? Okay, we are going to one lesson from this Sefer, and where the Ramban writes that anivus is shehi midah tova mikol midos tovas. There are many midos tovas. Patience is a beautiful midah. That's another midah tova. Ayin Tova is a beautiful midah. Hakaras HaTov is a beautiful midah. Silence is a beautiful midah. there are many beautiful midos. Simcha in life is a beautiful midah. But the most beautiful midah, shehi midah tova mikol midos, is humility. Because the truth is humility, if you have humility, it will sprout all the other midos. This statement, okay, so I'm quoting from this art school sefer by Rabbi Avram Chaim Fera on Igeres Ramban. We're only talking about this one point, that anivus is midah tova mikol midos tovos. This statement parallels a similar clause in the Rambam's ethical well. So the Rambam, in his spiritual tzava, in his ethical well, Maimonides says, humility is the ladder which leads to sublime heights. Remember, there is no ornament as attractive as humility. So in other words, the Rambam teaches similarly, there is no ornament as attractive as humility. Tomer Devorah sees humility as the key to attaining the gamut of excellent character traits. If you attain humility, you will access the whole range of excellent character traits. In a sense, humility can be seen as sort of a spiritual superconductor. This is a very interesting mashal. Why is humility the midah tova mikol midos tovos? Because humility is a sort of spiritual superconductor. What does that mean? Electricity does not flow smoothly through all metal. I have vague memories of some point in my education learning about this. Electricity does not flow smoothly through all metal. Impurities in some metals offer resistance to the electric flow and cause energy to be lost. I remember learning about batteries and how energy flows through and goes to the batteries. Did anyone else learn that? Does anyone else remember that? I don't know what class it was. I'm talking about a long time ago. Electricity does not flow smoothly through all metal because impurities in some metals offer resistance to electric flow and they cause energy to be lost. So you need a very pure conductor to conduct electricity. Other pure metals, however, not only do they not have impurities and resistance, they are superconductors. What does that mean? Not the conductor on the LIRR. They allow currents to pass through them smoothly with no energy loss. Thus, just as certain pure metals conduct electricity without offering resistance, there is the same thing in the spiritual world. So too, in the spiritual world, man may refine himself into a pure vessel, a kli tahor, with our neshama tahora, through which divine energy flows freely. By internalizing a humble nature, man filters the clouding element of self-absorption. That's exactly what Wigner Miller is speaking about. By internalizing a humble nature, humility, man filters the clouding element of self-absorption. Self-absorption makes us, it's cloudy. It makes our superconductors inside ourselves to receive the divine Shekhinah. It makes the channels broken. It makes them blocked. And we become crystalline. We are attuned and receptive to the desires of our Maker. He tells the following story. Extraordinary humility has been a hallmark of Torah leaders since the beginning of our history. He actually quotes Moshe Rabbeinu, which I was smiling because why was our whole share last week. Moshe Rabbeinu, one of the most accomplished men who ever lived, is also described as very humble, more so than all other men on the face of the earth. Page 42, he literally quotes that pasuk. He spoke about it all last week. His example, the example of Moshe Rabbeinu, has served as a model for others throughout history. And he tells this story. All the Jews of Warsaw came to greet the two greatest scholars of their generation. Tens of thousands of men, women, and children lined the streets to give honor to Rabbi Akiva Eger and Rav Yaakov Lorbermaum of Lisa, Rav Yaakov Lorbermaum, who had come to visit. As the crowd surged forward, the men of the city unhitched the horses. In a profound show of respect to these great Torah scholars, they grabbed themselves hold of the wooden shafts and began to pull the coach forward. So the coach with these two gadolim was being pulled by horses. As they approached the city in a profound show of respect, the men themselves started to pull the coach forward. What does it remind me of? The B'nai Kahas. The B'nai Kahas did not have wagons. B'nai Merari and B'nai Gershon had wagons to pull the kalim, not the kalim, the curtains, the rods, the pegs, the covers. B'nai Gershon and B'nai Merari were given covered wagons to carry the implements of the Mishkan that they were responsible for. But the B'nai Kahas did not have wagons because they had to carry them on their shoulders. Why? Because they're responsible for carrying the Aron Kodesh, which is Torah. They had the Kelim of the Mishkan, not the walls, not the beams, not the Briach HaTichon, not the Oros Techashim and the Oros Elim Adamim. They had to, not the curtains of the Chatzer, not the pegs that hammered in the curtains. They had to carry the Kelim themselves. When they carried the Kelim, they were carrying Torah. So that does not go in a wagon. That goes Al Kasef Yiso, they had to carry it on their shoulders. That's what it reminds me of. So there's a crowd surge forward. The men unhitched the horses in a profound show of respect to the Torah scholars. They grabbed hold of the wooden shaft and they began pulling the coach forward. Inside the coach, the two giants sat in opposite corners, each engrossed in thought. Rabbi Akiva Eger pondered, wasn't the great Rav Yaakov of Lisa in the coach? Surely this magnificent welcome must be for him. Rav Eger yearned to take part in the mitzvah of honoring this Torah scholar. He slipped quietly out of the door on the side of his wagon, and he joined those pulling the vehicle. On the other corner of the wagon, Rav Yaakov of Lisa was lost in similar thought. It was clear to him that all this honor must only be for who? Rabbi Akiva Eger. He wished to join the demonstration of giving honor to Torah. Like Kahas, I'm tying it into Kahas to see if it doesn't say this, but it's also because it was these Parshios. Bramibra Naso Baaloscha, we're told all about the encampments in the desert, which family of the Levium carry what? Okay. He too wished to join the demonstration. So Rav Yaakov of Lisa, Rav Yaakov Lorberman of Lisa, slipped out the door on his side, and he joined the throngs drawing the coach. And so the multitudes continued with their tumultuous reception for the rabbis, unaware that they were pulling a coach empty of its passengers, but filled to the brim with humility. So each Rav got out to pull the other. Sefer Hamidos predicts, when, listen to this, Masechta Sanhedrin 98a, when the world witnesses a renaissance of the quality of humility, when the world witnesses a renaissance, a resurgence of the quality of Aniva's humility, at that time we can begin to expect the arrival of the Mashiach. It's interesting because, it's frightening because, especially when you look at the political sphere, the only Mida that they absolutely do not have, I don't know, maybe they don't have a lot of other Midas, but the one Midos that is absent in the one major Mida absent in the political sphere is the Mida of humility. I'm not even talking about Jewish, not Jewish. There is no humility anymore, especially in the political sphere. But the Gemara tells us that when we witness a renaissance of the quality of humility, mankind can begin to expect the arrival of the Messiah. Menoras Hamar adds that at that time the humble folk will be hailed as the true heroes of humanity. It reminds me of the Gemara Maseches Pesachim. The Gemara says in Pesachim 50a Nun Amar Aleph, I forget which one of the Amoraim, his son became sick and he died, and he went up to the Olam HaMas. If anyone remembers the name, feel free to type it on the chat. Pesachim 50a Nun Aleph, Nun Amar Aleph. And his son went up, and when he came back, his father said to him, what did you see? And he said, Olam hafuch ra'isi, I saw an upside-down world. Elyonim lamata v'tachtonim lamala, I saw that the people who are despised down here are lauded and glorified up there. And I saw that the people who are lauded and glorified down here are down over there. I'm not going to give examples. Everyone could think for themselves. Certain things that we see in society and the world at large. And his father said to him, you didn't see an olam hafuch, lo ra'isa olam hafuch, olam barur ra'isa. You have seen a clear world. That's the true world. The Menorah Samar adds, at the time of Mashiach, humble folk will be hailed as the true heroes of humanity. As the Pasuk says in Tehillim, ki rotza Hashem ba'amo yifa'er, what's the next word? Yifa'er ki rotza Hashem ba'amo yifa'er anavim b'Yeshua. When Hashem shows favor to his nation, he will glorify the humble at the time of salvation. Ki rotza Hashem ba'amo, when Hashem desires, Klal Yisrael, it's talking about being Moshe Mashiach, it's Tehillim 149, so it's the second to last kapitel actually of Tehillim. Who will be glorified in the end of days? Yifa'er anavim b'Yeshua. It is the humble who will have glory in the salvation. So it's something that we have to apply to all of us. You don't have to be a Moshe Rabbeinu to try and inculcate this Midah into our lives. I'm sure the example that I gave you of something that happened to me you can all relate in your own way. And we have to try very, very hard to shech the anochi, because anochi not only destroys relationships ben adam lechaveiro, but if there's my anochi, there's no room for the real anochi. It says anochi Hashem Elokecha. If I remove the peg of my anochi, what will fill is the anochi of the one who created the world. As in Hashem, we'll continue next week. The Shir Shabbos Chos Aliyah Hashem for Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak Allah Hashem. I wish you a gavaldik week. Bas Hashem, a beautiful Shabbos. Thank you so much. Laila Tov, Kol Tov.